folks. Back here on the Boss Man Show, Hampton Pirates head coach Buck joining with me out of the Big South Conference. Coach, man, you talk about there, you guys staying safe up there in Hampton, man. How things been going to you guys so far this year?
It's been going all right. You know, we've been blessed enough to be able to kind of stay steady. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got the same trials and tribulations that everybody got going through this pandemic, you know, and with all the things that come with it, because sometimes it's something new every day.
Most definitely, Coach. So let's go back to March real fast. My birthday, March 11th, everything kind of went down NBA-wise, college ball-wise. So how was it for your kids to leave you guys in the in your structure of Hampton to go back to that environment, trying to keep your young men's minds fresh and not let the adversity of the pandemic bring them down?
Well, I mean, I think how it affected them. I mean, we had to all come up with new ways of doing things. We had probably had more Zoom calls, more FaceTime calls, you know, all those types of things to make sure we stayed in touch with our players and keep them mentally and physically active as we possibly could. I mean, at the end of the day, we lost, and I think I'm saying this for everybody, we lost a postseason, you know, after the season end, you lost the summer, you know, and in our case, we didn't bring our kids back in July. We didn't bring them back to second semester. So we even lost the preseason of this year, you know, and we got our kids back after Thanksgiving. So, you know, during that time, we had to become creative. You know, I had to get with my coaches and everybody, and we all had to figure out creative ways to try to get things going and keep guys acclimated to what we were trying to do.
Especially, Coach, we have the racial unrest that we see happen in D.C. yesterday, down in D.C. yesterday with George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and the others that happened since then. How'd you use these times to teach your young men about being young black men, how to present yourself when the police come your way so you don't end up one of those bad outcomes like Breonna Taylor did, or Ahmaud Arbery or George Floyd did?
The biggest thing was constant conversation. I mean, as black men, we see this every day.
Yes.
You know, this is what we live. Now, again, what we were able to do for them and even more so with my players, I'm talking about my sons and everybody else, my 13-year-old and my 15-year-old, we were able to put a face and a name to it, able to really be able to show, you know, now it's not just talk. We were able to show it. We allowed them to express themselves a lot. We allowed them to express themselves freely, even though we told them to be smart about it and don't do something to damage the message that you're trying to relay and that we are trying to relay about how we feel and how we think things should be. But again, you know, it became a thing of expression, and I think conversation and us allowing them to express themselves, you know, helped them get through this piece along with their own families.
Most difficult, Coach, like I said, you know, I'm 33 years old. I'm a little older than your guys, or I've been 33. And they got a lesson in 2020 about how life is as a black man in America. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't no sugar code. They got a full-fledged crash course in ways black men in America. And I feel like that'll help your young men from this day going into their lives because of what having you as their coach to teach them and their parents as well to show them, hey, this is what you got to deal with in life. And this adversity comes at you. You got to take it head on, adapt, overcome, and conquer this mess because it's what you're going to deal with the rest of your life.
Well, I mean, one thing, and we try to put this as one of the pillars of our program, but, you know, I do tell our young men that it's one test that we all going to take every day. And I think that's one thing and that's the eye test. You know, and I was told that by Big House Gaines one time when I was sitting with him, my uncle, and my father, and all. We were sitting watching. We were at the Final Four one year when I was just starting coaching with my uncle. And like you said, it's a test that we're going to take every day, and it's the eye test. And we're being judged every day by the way we look, not sometimes by the way we act. So we have to be cognizant of that, and we have to understand, you know, what we put off to happy. And then our guys, you know, we're able to understand and see that a little bit more every day. We got to be more aware in these days and times than we've ever had to be. And I'm like, you 33, I'm 48 years old. Some of this I've never seen before or nothing even close to it. So as they're learning, I'm learning also. But like I told them, we got to pass this eye test every day. So understand how you look at and talk everywhere that you go, because you're being judged every day. And you got people losing their lives over this stuff now. You know, and it is that serious.
And, Coach, you know what I said to my sponsors? Because, Coach, I'll be honest with you. I lost 5 sponsors this summer because I decided to speak the truth about living life as a black man. I wasn't all about the Atlanta Hawks or college basketball or the Falcons. I talked about me as a black man, and I lost 5 sponsors. But coach, I don't care about that, because the message is more important to our listeners and young black men growing up that you're coaching, my age and your age, man, beyond. That we need to address these issues, take them head on, quit being nice about this stuff. If we have lived a certain way that's not privileged. And when you get in your car, right, and take off your Hampton gear, take off my Atlanta Hawks gear, my Vice suit, I'm J.R. McHenry, a black man in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not protected by being the Hawks or being a radio host. You know what I'm saying? You've been a coach. So, like, it's real life we experience once we take off our gear from our jobs. We're just the black guys in America.
Well, at like you said, the beginning of the day and the end of the day, you're a man first, and then you're a black man. You know, and that one thing I do tell my players and I tell my sons and I tell everybody around me that, and we're all religious and faithful type of people in some instances, but the biggest piece of my religion I live by is that when I do good, I feel good. When I do wrong, I feel wrong. There are some good and bad people and good and bad situations in this world, but it's how you handle yourself and how you attack them. And again, I hate that you lost your sponsors, but you shouldn't feel good, bad about doing the right thing. Your religion and your heart is right. That's why you're sitting here right now.
Most definitely, coach, and academically, coach. Your coaches, your advisors at Hampton really helped your young men, their grades, because I know going from being on campus, having structures to study halls, to being virtual, for me, it would have been hard as heck, coach. I know for some of your guys, it was hard. So how was that managing with your young men, getting them, keeping their grades up high as you want them to be, when them being at home without the structure of being on campus with tutors and people around them to help them?
Well, it was the same thing that we talked about from the basketball and in a personal standpoint, constant conversation.
Yes.
You know, we had to be in conversation with them every day about what was going on, because just like they were virtual, the teachers and the instructors were virtual also. So again, we had to teach them to be more aware of their academic situations. And you got to use your email. You got to use your Skype. You got to use your Zoom, whatever avenue of conversation you had to make sure that you're doing the right thing. You know, in the classroom, you had to do it. We had to assist them however we could and whenever possible. But again, it was the conversation piece. And what's crazy is, you know, as coaches, I think we all teach that whatever happens in athletics is indicative of life. So in athletics, we're always teaching our kids to communicate. You got to communicate. You got to talk, you know, to be able to be successful. The same. It was more evident this year for what they had to do. One, not only in the streets and socially, but also academically. They had to be in constant conversations with their teachers because you didn't see them every day.
Well, definitely, coach. And also, I tell my listeners, coaches, man, when you guys coach, it's more than just X's and O's and drawing up plays. You are a mentor, a leader, a father figure, a brother, a cousin, a therapist, a counselor, all in one man with all these different layers to your job beyond just X's and O's. That's the easy part. The 2 hours you're on the basketball court, but you are trying to grow young black men from your program to be great, great husbands, fathers, leaders in their communities after they leave Hampton and leave you guys at 22 or 23 years old.
Well, the one thing we're trying to teach them is to be the best representative that they can of themselves, this university, and of their families. You know, as you said, but, you know, again, I think I tell a lot of people around me and the people that I work with when we have our meetings as an athletic department or even some university meetings. You know, the one thing a lot of people don't understand, like I tell some instructors that I do talk to and I meet and I see out from time to time because they come to games, I'm a professor just like you're a professor. The only difference between me and you is I take my test in front of 5,000 people and I'm judged and graded by 5,000 people where you are. I tell everybody in the departments and the people that I work with, everyone that's involved with this program, from a parent to an academic person to an instructor to a janitor, I'm responsible for every job that they do, but I'm judged by the one thing that they're not judged on, wins and losses. So again, I have to be able to connect with my young men and not them, but also the people around me to be able to make sure everybody on the same page and we all here for the right reasons. And then hopefully you're able to win ball games so you're able to keep your job.
Most definitely. And you know, coach, coming back late as you all did, how was it trying to install plays and concepts? Because, you know, when you come in late, you got to ramp the guys up. You don't want to get an injury early if you're going too hard. So how was that process trying to build your guys up with stuff, the concepts, and not get them hurt at the same time?
It's still a work work in progress now. I mean, we're in January now, but we've roughly been together as a unit for about a month, and we've already played 10, 11, yep. maybe 11 ball games. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to learn on the fly. And the one thing we try to instill in our guys is that's where your instincts and everything have to kick in. Basketball is basketball. You know, some of those exactly. things aren't going to change. But right now, we're using this time to be able to learn our guys, for them to be able to learn us, to learn the conference, to learn what it takes to win. And then the one thing, as I told them, no win is too great at this point in the year, and especially with this crazy year we're going through, and no loss is too bad. But the one thing that we're aiming for is to win as many games as we possibly can. But when we walk into that Big South tournament, if God blesses us to be able to have one, we're going to be the best team that we can possibly be, to be able to be prepared however many nights we got to play to go reach our ultimate goal of going to an NCAA tournament. Like so all said, this is dress rehearsal for us.
Like you said, Coach, the most important games are at that Big South tournament. Like so you could go on a run and lose that one game at tournament, and it's all over for you. Maybe the NIT, of course, if you win the championship. But besides, like you said, Coach, you want to peak at that tournament and be ready for that, like you said, and run there.
Right. And that's what we're aiming for right now. And really because of the times. You know, these are tough times. We didn't have a lot of time to prepare, and that's fine. We knew that. We knew what we were up against. So we prepared for it. We're built for it. And when it's time for us to peak, I think we'll be ready.
And, Coach, last one I got for you, Coach, this, man. You know, how's these – you're playing these games back-to-back. You played Radford back-to-back here. You got Upstate back-to-back. So how's that been so far, the whole back-to-back here? How have you been about managing those night one, night two, that back-to-back there?
You know what? It all comes down to the makeup of your team. I mean, I think, you know, for the whole process of it, when you have to deal with injuries, possibility of COVID, this and that. It is no way to prepare for this unless you got 10 to 13 healthy guys and there's no drop off. If you have that, it's easier to prepare for because you can just sub in and you're not worried as much about, you know, your style of play going down or your the effort of your team going down. But you got teams dealing with injuries, kids with COVID. This you may have when we were at Radford, we were down to eight scholarship dressed ball players. So I had three guys that had to play 80 minutes. That was tough on them, you know, and when normally you don't have to do that. But am I back?
Yeah, you back, Coach. Yeah, finish the point there, Coach.
Yeah, like I said, we were in a similar situation at Charleston Southern, where we were blessed enough to win two games. So again, I don't know that it's a blueprint for this. It's how healthy you are going from day to day. And then you got to make decisions based off that.
No doubt, Coach. Well, Coach, man, best luck tickets Upstate. I'm definitely cheering for you guys, man. I know you all been good to me in the show, man. So I definitely want you to all do well. I was in the Big South and show what the Hampton Pirates are all about, Coach. Get back that big dance again, man, in March there.
Hey, man, that's the goal, man. I appreciate you, brother.
Inside, Coach, you be safe. Be happy to your team. Be safe always, Coach. Thank you always for your time, man.
No problem.
All right, now. See you now.